everyone. This is Natalie, also known as StarsCast. And, you know, I say that every week. People say, yeah, we know it's you. But anyways, I like for the new listeners to know that I've been known as StarsCast since the 90s. Somewhere in the 90s, I took that name and carried it through with my websites. And tonight we have a very special guest, and I'm going to tell you a little bit tonight about what's going on. If you have anything for the magazine, mysticlivingtoday.com, please send it to me. Go to the site, and you can contact me, or you can do StarsCast, that's StarsCast, like in Tom, at mysticlivingtoday.com, and I'll be happy to put something in. I start it tomorrow afternoon. I can do poetry, excerpts, articles. I like images with everything because people like to look at a complete, you know, when they're reading something, it gets sometimes a little boring and they have a picture to look at, and it's always great. And I also have another site called Stars with a Z, psychics.com. That's my, you could call it my money-making site. It's not, you know, I do it because I love what I do. It's another passion, and as is the magazine. It's about 7 years old now. Now, the magazine, I started back in 1999, so, you know, I could probably do that with my eyes closed. Maybe, I don't know. But I have fun doing that. I know people all over the world, all walks of life, do all kinds of beautiful things. And tonight I have my co-host with me, Al, and he's going to ask questions and generate all of his good stuff. Al, how are you doing tonight?
Phenomenal. And I didn't know I was going to do all of that, but I'll be glad to. Just joking.
I'll do all of the above, right? All of the above. And so without further ado, and people always say that, I'm going to bring on right now Charles Davis, who's also a good friend of Al. And Charles is an author. He has a new book coming out. I'm not sure when. We're going to ask him. And Charles, how are you doing tonight? Good?
Doing wonderful, yeah. Thank you, Natalie. Hi, Al.
Hi, Charles. How you doing, my friend?
Just wonderful. Thank you. Great to chat with you both.
Right back
well,
at
it's
you.
An informal show. You're gonna enjoy it. You know, I'm gonna let you take the stage because what I would like you to do is, I mean, I could do all this. I could say all these things, but coming from you, it's going to be much better and stronger. I want to ask you how you experienced the love, quote unquote. But how did you get started 15 years ago after a lot of meditation and yoga? It says here, because I got a great sheet on you. But tell us in your own way, what led you to write a book, and tell us about the love. That's my question, my own question.
Well, the book is a work in progress, and so it really, it's been on my heart for a while, and recently I went to India, and while I was in India, it really got clear that this is what I needed to do, was to put together a book. The book is going to be called The Art of Amazing, and it's talking about, you know, living the most amazing life that you can, and really totally and completely falling in love with yourself and falling in love with life, kind of in that order. First, you need to fall in love with yourself and really love yourself, and then you fall in love with life. And when you do, you live just the most amazing life. And I've been in love with myself and with my life, and not from an egotistical point of view. I just love myself. And you know, that's what we're here to do, is get back to what that love is. And when we do that, we are in that authentic area. We're real, and life just begins to line up and get into a really nice rhythm.
That's true, but sometimes it's difficult to love yourself, don't you think? I mean, you probably have run across people. Sometimes I have difficulty doing that. I mean, you know, I have a passion for what I do, and I maybe the same thing with Al, because there are times, I don't know with Al if it's the same thing, but I know sometimes, you know, when I'm doing my magazine, I love myself. I love what I'm putting out. I love what I'm doing. But to say, I really should just love myself because I do beautiful things for a lot of people. So I don't think I've ever done anything wrong in my life that I'm aware of, except I did hit a guy, a little boy, not a guy, a young kid, I hit him in the face because he threw a rock at me. But that's the only bad thing I've ever done in my whole life. But cool. I think you encounter people. Can you tell right away, Charles, if people really love themselves by just talking with them or seeing them? Or, I mean, is there some kind of something that they put off that you know, or what they say? I mean, does that happen? Or, and this is a spiritual thing too, right? I mean, spiritually, when you love yourself, like you said, it's not an ego thing. It's coming from a higher place. And but you can't, sometimes you can't do that every day. I know I can't. Not that I hate myself, but I mean, to say that I love myself, I don't know. So explain that a little bit more. What is that?
Well, yeah, a couple of questions there. Can you tell? Mostly, I think you can tell when somebody does. Some people will put on an act, and some people are really good at putting on an act. Usually that'll shine through at some point, and you can tell if somebody loves themselves. But as far as loving yourself every day, I think that is possible. I love myself every day. Now, I can really identify with what you're talking about. I haven't always loved myself. In fact, there was a point in my life where I just hated life, I hated myself, and I was suicidal. And, you know, I've gone through a lot of ups and downs in life. I'm a recovered alcoholic, had problem with other substances. I've been through a divorce. I've been through bankruptcy. I've been arrested and charged with things and, you know, fortunately not convicted because I really was innocent of the charges, but I had to go through that for a number of years. And I was a single parent for 13 years. I could go on and on and on and on. And times weren't always easy, and there was many times where I didn't really love myself, no. But you get to I've gotten to the point, and by working with the things I'm putting in the book, I've gotten to the point where more and more I've worked through a lot of those things. And that's what I'm going to put in the book, is how do you work through those things? Because you can't go around those situations that take you and separate, or at least it feels, you have this illusion of separation from love. Remember, Natalie L., we are love. That is our nature. That's who we are. That's what comes from divinity. We are, our spark from divinity that we have is love, and that's who we are. And anything else is illusion. Anything else, for the lack of a better term, anything else is bullshit. And
there you go.
it
well,
really
that's
is.
That's the truth. Yeah, it is.
You know,
okay,
it's
so,
the truth. It's, you know.
So let me interject here real quick, and my apologies for interrupting here. But to answer your question, Natalie, so one of the things that I've seen, and believe me, I understand where you're coming from because I've been and done that, but when a person loves themselves, and Charles can testify on my behalf what I went through the last 3 years. But when a person loves themselves, you'll know by the experiences they're going through, what's going on in their life. Because if they don't love themselves, then life will show you that it's not happening. But when you do love yourself, your whole world turns around and life supports you. But by no means am I saying that everything's a bed of roses. It's not. But you can tell when you look at a person. Yeah, but you can tell when you look at a person and whatever's going on in their life, they're dealing with it in an appropriate manner or in an optimal manner rather than struggling.
That makes
sense.
Yeah,
that's essentially it, right? It's people who really love themselves, when life starts throwing them a turn, and, you know, and life will. We all have lessons that we go through, and as Al said, it isn't always rosy. You know, I personally don't always have a rosy life. I have a pretty darn good life, and I have a pretty darn good life because of the fact that I always stay connected to that love, that essence of who I am. So when I get thrown a curveball, when there's something that you know, comes along that's really negative, do I forget sometimes? Sure, I do. I'm human. But it doesn't take long before I remember and I go back to just, you know, hey, I love myself. This is okay. It's all just an illusion, and I'm going to get through it one way or another. I know I'm going to get through this. And it's getting back connected to what that is.
Tell us about your mystical awakening. I want to know about that.
I always wonder about what mystical awakening really means, and I think it means something a little bit different to all of us. But I've been aware of being psychic and aware of other energies, other dimensions, and other beings probably most of my life. When it comes to a mystical awakening, I know that about 15, 16 years ago, I was introduced to something called radical forgiveness. And when I learned about radical forgiveness, I read the book. It's by a guy by the name of Colin Tipping. And when I learned about radical forgiveness, read the book, and started to realize that everything in my life I've attracted into my life, right from day one to this point where we're sitting right now, I've attracted that into my life. And there's been a reason why I've attracted all those things and all those people and all those situations into my life. And it was for my learning, for my soul learning. And when I realized that, all of a sudden I was able to let go of a lot of stuff that I'd been holding on to all my life. I was raised by an abusive father. I left home, quit school, left home when I was 15. And I had lots of resentment against a lot of different people, a lot of situations in my life. And all of a sudden I just realized that, you know, I attracted all that stuff into my life. It was me.
Well, they say
and
you attract what you are.
To grow.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe are at the moment. At that moment. You know, if you're in a negative state, I mean, you can walk around and you can look at people. I mean, I practice this every day, every time I'm out. I'm always kind and loving to anybody that I meet, even if I never know their first name. But you can tell when you look at them, if you're in tune, you can tell what's going on with them and how they feel. And I just always hope that maybe by giving off something really nice and kind that they will attract it more to them. And more times than not, they respond to me. I mean, how can you refuse not to respond to me anyways, right, Al? But anyways, you know, really old people, it doesn't matter where I am. Do you need some help? I mean, but that's just part of my persona, if you want to call it that. But I think you really can attract what you are. So if you're in a negative state, and you can correct me, Charles, if you're in a negative state, you can bet you're gonna get some things that are just, it's going to be like a vacuum. It's just going to come right to you. But how do you get out of that? That's the tough thing that a lot of people have trouble with, even myself. I'm not really negative that much about anybody except for myself. And, I mean, I've done fine work. I do a fine job, all of that. Everybody tells me that. But, you know, it's within yourself. You have to know that I have done the very, very best. And sometimes I sit and I think about that. And you can talk yourself into any state that you want, really. It's all in your head. It's all within you. But hopefully we attract what we are. And if it's all good, that's what's going to come your way. That's how I feel. What about you, Al?
Yeah, I definitely agree that whatever energy or vibration you're vibrating at, or whatever, you know, whatever frequency you're emanating is what's going to come towards you. So as you love yourself, you know, and I know Charles and I could do the same thing. We tell our clients or our audiences to elevate loving themselves, because what happens then is you start bringing different people and different resources and situations and experiences into your life, rather than dealing with the same old BS that you've been dealing with, you know, prior. So as you elevate your energy, as you said, Natalie, you start magnetizing towards you the same vibration that you're emanating.
Exactly.
The interesting thing is that elevated energy is there all the time. You don't really have to elevate it. You just need to uncover it. Because so much of what happens, I mean, from the day we come into this world, we begin to accumulate baggage. And from even before then, we're bringing baggage in from past lives that go back to the beginning of time. And we bring that in, plus we begin to get more baggage. And it's that baggage that covers up that spark of the divinity that's inside of us that is love. And really, all you need to do is to learn how to uncover that. And, you know, there's different ways of doing that. You can do it through music, but I tell you something, it is, there's a lot of times that you need to go through stuff to be free of it too. And so often, and this has always been my drawback with certain spiritual communities is, oh, I'm just going to think positive and it's all going to go away. But it doesn't. And then they're wondering, well, how come it doesn't all go away? I'm changing the way I'm thinking, and I'm changing the way I'm speaking, and that all that stuff's good and fine, but it doesn't always make things go away. Sometimes you just got to go through them, and by going through it is where our soul gets the learning. So like Al says, was saying, you can go and attract things to you, yeah. But then, you know, I watched Al like say a few years ago when it was his energy was high and he was attracting great things to him. Then all of a sudden it just changed. Did Al change? No. It was all of a sudden his soul needed some lessons and some stuff started to happen to him. And it wasn't just it wasn't even one thing. It wasn't two things. It was like everything. And Al and I were together at that time. We did some traveling together. Went to a conference out in Palm Springs, and while we're out there, he even got some more stuff that came in that was like just some of the worst news in the world. And you know, the thing was that shortly after that, Al and I got onto a phone conversation. I said, Al, you just need to go through this stuff. And so I took him through it. And Al, you want to talk about that experience or no?
Oh my goodness. Okay. So wow. So one of the things that I went through back in 2015. I was blessed that many people reached out to me and to support me to evolve and move forward with everything that was going on. And Charles said, you know, basically said that, Al, are you open to doing a session with me? And I said, yeah. And he said, would you have to do it privately? And to make a long story short, he told me, get in your truck and go somewhere private. So I went in my truck and I went to a dead end street and I parked my truck. And he started putting me through this process, and I'll let Charles explain the process. But to make a long story short, it was one of the most painful things I've ever gone through in my life. I came within a millisecond of completely giving up. It was so bad that I thought, excuse my language, but what the F am I doing? I mean, I was done. I had hit bottom. But in a split second, what happened is I surrendered. Instead of giving up, I surrendered. And my whole life right there in that moment began to change. And there was all kinds of things that were happening during that session. But it was the most excruciating, painful thing I ever gone through emotionally. But once I came out of it, I was a different person. But by no means that I'm not going to say that my whole life changed at that moment. But it's put me in a trajectory to in a different flow of where I was headed.
It was a turning
point. Right, and Charles, I want to ask you this. Now, sometimes things happen to people a long time ago. I mean, I'm talking 10, 12, 15, 20 years ago. And it's kind of like you carry that with you, and then all of a sudden, and I'm speaking about myself, all of a sudden, it's right there. And you have to deal with these things, like the loss of whoever it is. You know, you kind of put it on the back burner. Oh, yeah, it's there. But I am finding that it can come back to haunt you. And you have to accept it and say, okay, yep, okay, this is how I felt about this or about this person, and I'm not wrong about it. And I understand it, but it can come back, I mean, even 20 years later to you. And maybe
sure, yeah,
there's something in it that you didn't complete. Maybe there's something that you did not accept or realize or whatever it is. And like I said, it's happened to me. And I didn't go to see anybody. I have a great support system right now around me. One of them, she's listening right now, and Al knows. And but sometimes, you know, people can tell you something, and you say, "Yeah, but that's you talking. That's you're not going through this like I am. You don't understand." And if you're at a spiritual level, and it's high enough, it's going to play a game with you sometimes. You have to believe. That's my key thing, is you have to believe. You just have to know that it's going to be okay. Somehow, somebody's going to come along and is going to talk you through something like Al, you had Charles. But at that time, you were really all, you were hit with a lot of things at one time. And sometimes a person just can only handle so much on their own, and they don't even know who to go to. I mean, you could go to a stranger, you could go to a therapist, and then what you do is you end up talking for weeks and weeks and weeks get to the issue that you have right today. That's why I think sometimes that's wrong. You almost need a spiritual counselor if you're like us, because if you can't understand spirituality, how are you going to know how I'm feeling? You know, that... But I believe, yeah, things can come back from many, many years, and I'm pretty sure that I'm right. Right, Charles? Like, I'm
well,
talking
sure,
to you like you're the guru.
I mean, just,
but, yeah, I think
it's
so.
It's just energy. It's energy that's there that, you know, you haven't shifted that energy. It's almost like you've buried it. And so things like grief, people, you know, tend to, like, well, get over it, get on with life. No, you got to go through grief.
Yeah,
you've got
right.
to feel the grief. You got to cry. You've got to do whatever it is that you need to do to process the grief. And with any of these things that hit you, whether it's anger, whether it's grief, whether it's fear, whether it's sorrow, whether it's loss, whatever it is, you need to process it. You need to go through it. And so that's what... You know, when I was leading Al through, it was just a matter of going through that process and really taking him deep into what it was that he was feeling at that moment. Just diving into that at that moment. Just, you know, there's a great guru who I love so much, and we both have the same kind of guru, and his name is Ram Dass. And Ram Dass wrote a book called Be Here Now. And that's really what I did with Al, is I just really got him where he was at right now. Let's dive into this and let's see where it's going. Now, when you're doing that, especially if you got something that's really, really serious, it's best to be with another person. And
right.
knowing, because it can get scary. Like Al said, he was at the point of just totally giving up. And he didn't
right.
give up. He did something. He surrendered, which is a little bit different, right? He just surrendered, let go of all that stuff, and was able to move through it. But if I hadn't been there or somebody hadn't been there, who knows what could have happened, right? So it's good. It's good to have somebody there witnessing it. And when you turn, because he went through right down into a turning point, and when we had finished, he came back up again. And so he went right down and hit the bottom, and then he came back up again and started to feel what it was like on the other side. And when that happened, he didn't experience that stuff anymore. It was gone.
And if it happens to come back to him, he'll know what to do. Go ahead, Al. I'm sorry.
So, Natalie, so two things I want to address what you brought up. And I totally agree with you, Charles, what you just said. But one thing is, and I love the word you said, Charles, uncover. When you uncover the self-love or the elevation of love that you actually were born here or blessed with, what happens is no matter what life throws at you, and by no means I'm going to say it's easy, but when life throws something at you, you have that courage and you have that faith and you have that hope that comes from self-love. And the second thing, and this I just realized not too long ago, and Charles and I were talking about it, and actually Charles instigated it by asking me, I can't remember the exact question, but it was something like, why do you think you went through with everything and or something to that effect? And what I realized was it was making me understand how powerful I am and how strong and the faith and the courage that I have and the hope that I have in order to get through scenarios. So whenever a situation, like you just said, Natalie, comes about and you know, it surfaces and says, okay, I've dealt with this before. Not maybe not in the same form, but it's in a different form, and I can deal with it. the life is showing me that I can deal with it. And not only that, but have compassion for others, you know, to so I can show them, hey, look, I understand what you're going through because I've been there.
Right. That's true. And you can't speak of it unless you've been through it. You have.
Correct.
It's almost like I can't really be in your shoes, but I'm in my shoes and I've had something similar and this is what I did or this is what I'm doing. And sometimes it's a long, long process. It doesn't happen like one time. It just doesn't. It depends on what it is, I think. And you know, a lot of people will say to me how strong I am as a person for what I went through. Well, I guess, but I don't look at it like that. I just felt that it was something that I needed to do about it. I guess it was showing inner strength because it was not a great ride for me. And so, but I did it, and I'm standing tall and saying, I did this. You want to know how I did it? I can tell you how I did it. But it's all mine is also a belief system. I have that, and that really helped me at this particular time in my life when I really needed it because it was not fun for me at all. And, you know, I have family. I have a son, but my son could not be here. It had to be. I had to do it, and I did it. And, you know, she reminds me, look what you went through. Look what you did. She says, I couldn't have done that. Yeah, you'd be surprised what you can do. You really. And I did it, and I'm kind of proud of that. And my friend is listening, and I won't say her name, but she reminds me of that periodically. Look at what you did, Natalie. Look. And you built a site at the same time. You formulate. But you see, you know, Charles and Al, that's I'm not even done yet, but that's not the most important thing. I don't even know what the most important thing is for me. I guess creating. I love creating things. I have something that I have a passion for. But, you know, Charles, you wrote a book, and so did Al. I have this story that I have in my head. I mean, I've written part of it. It's more like a fairy tale. It's very beautiful, it's romantic, but it's got some real life to it. And but do you think I can actually put it all together? No, it's not really a book. It's more like you'd see a little fairy tale book. You know how the kids like the golden books? They'd have the gold edges on the side. It's more like that. But yet it's geared for those who are even, you know, 14, 15, 16 years old. Like I told Al before, my granddaughter read some of it in front of her class. She showed her teacher. She changed it up a little bit, and they could not believe the story. I mean, I get the encouragement, but yet how do you go about and do that? Do you just sit down and say, okay, amongst all the other things I do, I'm going to sit and I'm going to give a half a day and I'm just going to crank this story out because this story will end up being real. And I guess that's the hard part. You know, it's a fairy tale, but then in a sense it's really not. I mean, it's really, really beautiful. I mean, I really should do it, and I have somebody who wants to publish it. She says, you do it, I'll publish it. I'm thinking, oh, geez, Louise, you know. But Charles and Al, how did you write, like, this is your first book, right, Charles?
Yeah, and I'm in the middle of it, and to be honest with you, I'm looking at a ghostwriter to carry the rest of it through. I know everything that needs to be there, and I have all that together. But I'm looking at getting a ghostwriter to take it the rest of the way. So you may want to look at that. There's different ways of doing it. Al's written more than one book. Al, you've written what, three books?
Correct.
Okay,
so
Al,
how
did you do it? You're in the spotlight. How did you do it?
I'm going to piggyback. Well, actually, I'm going to segue to Charles here. It's by going back to zero. Going back to a blank state is how I wrote my first book. And Charles can expand on that with Ho'oponopono.
Yeah, and, you know, that's part of the uncovering, right? So self-identity through Ho'oponopono, which is something I teach, well, I'm teaching it worldwide now. I'm one of 30 authorized teachers of it. And, you know, it by doing that and practicing Ho'oponopono, you uncover more and more and more yourself, right? You're getting rid of old memories that are coming up from many, many lifetimes ago, and getting to the point of zero, which is really the point where you're totally encompassed in that love. And it is at that point that you're open to the inspiration of divinity, and basically you're probably at your most creative point, right? So
is that a Hawaiian name? I had an advisor that she mentioned that to me once, and I'm just, what's the background of that? What
it is a Hawaiian
where
name,
does that come
and,
from?
The Hawaiians
okay.
have been practicing it from creation on. And then back in the early 1980s, there was a woman by the name of Morna Simeoa. And Morna was a Hawaiian kahuna. She was a healer, many different types of Hawaiian kahunas, but she was a healer. And she got through meditation that she needed to bring this ancient Hawaiian practice to Western civilization, that we needed it. And, of course, we're not as community-minded as the Hawaiians, because at one time, when you did Ho'oponopono, you would get all the families. So if I wronged your family, I would get all of my family members and all of your family members. And when I'm talking about family members, when you're Hawaiian, a 15th cousin is as important as a family member as your mom and dad, right? So you would gather all these people together, and they would get together, and they would, you know, talk through any of the things that were wrong in order to get them right. Well, Morna made the process so that we were responsible for what we do, and we take the action to do that. And so, you know, it's quite simple, and it's out there. A lot of people are aware of, I love you, thank you, I'm sorry, please forgive me. And just by using those words and using them over and over, you can get pretty clear and get down to zero. And then from there, you can create, you know. In life, it's like this. We're in one of two states. We're either contracted in life or we're expanded. And so if you think about contraction, like just think about, you know, what does that bring to you? You know, you know, how do you feel when you're contracted, right? You're kind of pulled in and pulled over. The last thing you want is to be around people or situations. You're definitely not going to go to a party or anything where you're feeling contracted, right? And then on the other hand, you can be expanded in life. And so when you're expanded, everything's going good and moving out, and so it's kind of an outward thing. And that's the time you want to be around people. That's the time that you can write a book, is when you're in that state of expansion, because things are coming out of you, and it's just natural for it to come out of you, right? When you're in that state of contraction, and by the way, we all go through expansion and contraction. I'm not the spokesperson for expansion. I can contract just as much as I expand. The times that we contract, those are the times that we need to have self-care. So those are the times that you want to have a hot bath or whatever it is for self-care.
You need
to go to a movie, take yourself out, have some ice cream, you know, go out for a nice dinner or something.
Yes.
You really want
yes.
to be taking care of yourself in those times.
Yeah.
You're not going to be going out there and being sharing anything with anybody. And writing is one of those times you want to be in that expansive mode. And can you get yourself into an expansive mode? Yes and no. Sometimes you can get yourself there. Sometimes it's just the universe saying, you know what? It's your time to take care of yourself. It's your time to love yourself and just take care of yourself,
right.
And it's okay. It's okay. And I think that we need to honor those times. So when we're feeling contracted, we need to look at it and say, okay, this is my time. I'm gonna love myself. I'm going to take care of myself. And then when I'm feeling more expansive, then I can go out and write my book. Then I can go out and speak at my conference or my workshop. Then I can go out and be around other people. Right? And what Ho'oponopono helps you do is get to that expansive getting into that expansion.
Yeah. She worked for me, and we would talk once in a while. She's in Hawaii, as a matter of fact. But she's not Hawaiian. She's from England, I think. But that's where she is. And she talked about that a little bit to me because she would call. And, I always found it very, very interesting because I never knew where it came from, how it got started, or anything like that. But also, the two of you, and I'm just not being the devil's advocate, this is easy, can't you, as you're growing up and you're young, and can't you come sometimes from a childhood that just carries with you throughout your adult life, and that harms you more than give you good? That's what happened to me, you know, and believe it or not, I can be really shy. That must be when I'm like this person that's within. I'm not out there that I could, in a room, I could be really quiet. You would not even know I was there. And yet, if I was in that moment, like you just described, I could be talking up a storm. I mean, I could go to people that I don't even know. Hi, nice to meet you. My name is Natalie. But there are times when I can be really quiet. And I think it stems from being a little girl and being alone. And I think you carry that with you. So I haven't done a bad job, actually. I've done a pretty good job. I never thought I would ever be doing the radio, talking to people that I don't even know or I've never met, you know. And you have to be in that state. And I quiet myself before the show. And if I have to look at something about the guests that I have, I do that. But I don't really, I just look at it with my eyes. I don't sit there and read it word for word for word. Because I don't, that's how I can interview. I have to just talk. And questions will come out and all that. But don't you think you can carry this from being small, a young child, and things happen to you over, like you're a little girl all alone. I'm picking your brain, Charles, about this, and Al, too. Being alone, all by yourself, your friends sometimes would call upon you to come out, you know, and do things with them, other little girls, but a lot of times they would not. And what I would do is I wouldn't cry about it. I'd go read a book. I'd go turn TV on or I'd listen to my music. That was my world. That probably did, I don't know if it did more harm than good for me, because today, right now, I don't really like being alone all the time. And you would think, God, Natalie, that's all you did. But something, it's not like that. Maybe because really I have this inner personality that's ready to come out, that wants to have people around me. And so I don't know. Do you think, either one of you, that something could stem from when you were a child? And then as you're getting older, and I'm talking to people like the two of you, and I see things that probably I did as a little girl or did not do because I didn't have the proper direction. I mean, I was really alone. And, I mean, I wasn't abused, but I was alone. And it just was not. And I didn't think about it until I got to be much, much older about my life as a child. And then I figure, oh, okay, well, that figures that. But then I did these extraordinary things for another person that most people would never have tolerated. But yet I did it. So how do you explain all that?
Well,
you
explained it well. You brought it up well. Is these are things that you have carried from a young age. And as I said before, we carry things from past lives, from this life. It's just the baggage that we accumulate as we go along, and we do so unconsciously. We're not even aware of it, right? And then you get to a point in your life and you think back on those times and you find yourself getting into those habits. And sometimes those habits aren't so bad, right? Being alone by yourself to charge up your batteries, that means that you're an introvert. Now, anybody who would know me would look at me from the outside and say, Charles, you're not an introvert, you're an extrovert. But you know something? When I need to get my batteries charged, I need to go and be alone for a little bit. And then
can
I can come
both?
Out, my batteries are charged, and I go out. Well, I am an outgoing introvert. I'm very outgoing. Get me into a crowd of people, mm-hmm. I'll talk to people, get me on a stage. I can do that. I'm very friendly, outgoing. But the difference between an introvert and an extrovert, an extrovert would go out all the time, and the more they go out, and the more they're out amongst other people and out and about, that's what charges their batteries. So that's they just need to go out more and more and more. And when they're alone, they're like, no, I need to get my batteries charged, and they'll go out more and more and more and more. An extrovert, now some or an introvert, some introverts, they just want to be alone all the time, right? But
right.
then there's kind of like the for the lack of a better term, the extroverted introvert, and that's kind of what I see myself as an extroverted introvert. I'll go out and do things, and I get a lot of enjoyment out of that, and be in the spotlight or whatever. But then I need to come in and charge my batteries. I need to go and have a hot bath, just spend some time alone, and recharge
right,
my batteries.
Right, be alone.
And to be alone, you know. So
yeah.
so part of that
yeah.
is just the nature of who you are. But to go back to those things that you're carrying. Those things can come up, and they'll come up in different ways, right? You were being shunned or ignored by the girls when you were younger. So, you know,
right.
all of a sudden you're into a relationship, and the person you're into some sort of a relationship, whether it's intimate or not, doesn't matter. It could just be a friend, and all of a sudden your friend does something, and what comes up to mind? Oh, they're shunning me. Oh, they're not.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah, that's
they're not,
true. Yeah,
you
that's
know?
True.
And those things come up. And are they shunning you? Maybe, maybe not, right? But they're playing a role in your
right.
life again because
yeah.
there's healing in an area of your life that you need to have. There's something you need to go through that you haven't gone through. And it's not like, you know, it's not like when you're a little girl, you turn around and say, listen, I don't like this. I'm feeling bad, so I'm just going to take this and put it aside and maybe it'll go away. No, we don't know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you don't
We're
know how to do that.
That.
You don't even think that, right?
You don't know.
Yeah,
how to
right,
do
you're
that.
Not
you
aware
don't
of
even
it.
Think it. Right?
No, you
but
don't.
But at some point,
no.
we find ourselves being feeling that we're being shunned by this one, or feeling like we're being shunned by that one, or feeling like, you know, it always comes up, why me? Every time I get into this, you know, and you start looking at it, and it's not why you, it's just you. It's just something that you that has been there, and you haven't had a chance to go through it. So that's what my book is about, is how, when you recognize those things, how to go through those things, and leave them behind you so that you're living an amazing life. It's the art of amazing, right?
You know,
so,
when I was little like that, though, I didn't get mad at them. I just accepted it and turned on my heels, and I didn't even say, well, okay, see if I do that to you. I didn't even do that. I just went off as if I was instructed, okay, don't let them bother you. You don't have to worry about them. You have things that you can do. And usually little kids
right.
stomp their feet and get mad. But I didn't do that. And so
well, some
I,
do,
I
and,
think,
and some do like you do.
Yeah, I really didn't. I thought, well,
things,
okay, you know.
One of the things
Go
that
ahead,
I
Al.
Realized, one of the things I realized over the years is if something keeps popping up over and over in your life, and as the, both of you have mentioned, it requires to be healed. Something needs to be let go, whether it was passed on from a prior life, or it's been passed on from your ancestry, whether it's been passed on through your journey. It's being presented to you to take care of, to heal, to let it go, or to forgive. And so we get presented with those opportunities to do something about it. And the thing about that is we all have the power or the ability to heal it or to integrate it or to move on or to forgive or to release. Even though sometimes we can feel overwhelmed and think, oh my God, why am I going through this? Or here's another one. Why am I going through this again? And at some point you have to say, enough is enough. I'm done with it. I'm going to do something with it. And when you decide and tap into your courage and through self-love, because that's where the foundation is, the self-love. When you, start,
yeah,
when you have
that
self-love,
that.
Yeah, when you have the self-love, you have the courage. When you have the courage, you have the ability to forgive. When you have the ability to forgive, you finally let it go. And it ends that way. And the cool part about that is, and most people don't understand this, is when you forgive something or let it go, release, it goes in all directions. It goes down in your lineage, down to your ancestors, and it goes to your future generations, because you are the pinnacle of your lineage, and you're resolving the issues that it no longer affects anyone or anything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
it's
you
affecting
know,
everyone around you.
Yeah, that's true. When I go through something, I get quiet about it. I don't talk about it. I just try to figure it out for myself because I know I have help that you can't see, and I know that. So I just like about 6-7 years, I guess about 6 years ago, something like that, I still have this friendship, this girlfriend of mine. I had to go through something when my husband died, because I didn't have to take care of him, but I did. It's a long story. But anyways, she would come and get me twice a week and take me someplace, you know, and it was probably the best thing that she could have ever done for me. But I see what I'm doing now that what I couldn't do then, and this is for people to understand. I followed her around, and sometimes her daughter would be there and another girlfriend would be there. I would follow them around. You know, usually you go, hey, I'll meet you over there. I'm going to go look over here. I never did that. I guess I was afraid. I don't know what I was afraid of, because I was thrown into this world. Now, all of a sudden, I don't have to take care of this person. I don't have to go through all of that every single day. So, but there's a fear in me. Pretty soon, I mean, she did this all the time. I mean, both girlfriends did this all the time. And I thanked her because probably, this is the sixth year, probably the end of last year, I changed. I didn't even know it. But I started finding myself, I could not be around somebody. I could go over there and, I'll meet you in 10 minutes, okay? Yeah, okay, because I want to go look at this. That's what usually women do when they're all together and they're shopping or whatever. They don't like stay together. But I did it. And I was walking away that one time, and I remember, wow, you see what you just did? I mean, you know, something happened here. Something wonderful happened. So I must have kind of pulled myself out of all of that. And, I mean, it was not fun. And now I'm really good with that. But it took 5 years. It took 5 years. And now, I mean, I could probably do just about anything because I'm more solid with myself. I still have times when I'm not. You know, I always worry about my other business and if everybody's making money and all of that. And you know, you have to leave that to the universe. I mean, if a business, you can't make people come. You know what I'm saying? You can't. When you have a site online, you have to just let it go, give it all your love and all your passion and everything, your creativity, and do all the great things, and then you have to sit back and say, okay, here we go. What is it going to do? I mean, you can't make something happen, and a site is a perfect example when you've given something so holy to everything that you know, even during a time when you probably shouldn't have been doing anything but more taking care of yourself and this other person. But I didn't do that. I think it really saved me, to tell you the truth. I think it was probably a blessing in disguise that I had something else I could concentrate and focus on. And now, I mean, I love what I have, but I'm not done. I'm not done. Oh, my God. I'm not done yet. You know, I still have all this enthusiasm and all these ideas and creativity. And so I think that's a good thing. So I did come out of that in my own way. Maybe it'll come back to haunt me again later. I don't know. But right now I'm in a good place with all of that. I can actually be dropped off someplace and go walking around in a store or where all alone. And I don't have to feel that need to be beside somebody or know where that person is. I mean, it was a blessing what she did for me and my other girlfriend, really. And I told her and I thanked them both for it because I don't know how I would have handled it. I think it really helped me get through something that probably could have been really bad for me. And so I have to thank them. They're not listening, but I always thank them as my friends, you know. But it's not easy to do things that have happened to you and to deal with things when they come back to haunt you. I call them to haunt you. But you have to surround yourself with beautiful people. I call them, and Al knows this, my champions. Those are the ones that no matter what, I can call upon them, and I have two. One of them is Candy. She's in the chat room. And the other one is Jackie. And then there's this other one. And then these are the three that it's amazing what they do. It's like they're my little angels. And Candy has it all covered on the internet for me. I mean, you know, she's probably laughing. Yes, I do. And Jackie, if I need to talk about something, I just get her on Skype, and I'll say, okay, what's going on? What's going on here in the stars? Because she's an astrologer like I am, and I'm also a clairaudient and a clairvoyant. But I used to do it, but I don't do it anymore. But, you know, you have to find people around you that are going to be that, you know, when you feel like you're falling a little bit, well, okay, I'm going to go talk to her, because I know I'm going to derive something wonderful from it. So I guess you have to, that's part of it too, don't you think, guys, is that you have to have people around you that really love you. Now, I'm not talking about people that are around you for a purpose to use you. I'm not talking about those kinds of people. I'm talking about people that really care about you as a human and have seen what you've done and how you've come through it. And I could tell you this story, and then you probably fall off your chair. But I think, and a lot of people go through that, don't you think, Charles and Al, that they have these devastating things that happen to them, and then as they get older and they look back, they think, wow, yep, I did that, and I can stand tall because I did it, and nobody helped me, not one person. So, those are the things that you carry with you, I think, that can cause you heartbreak and pain as you get older, and you wonder, gosh, did I miss all that time when I could have been doing something else? I don't think so. I think, like you said, Charles, it was something that I had to go through. It was could have been part of my lesson, but my soul did mighty fine. It did great. It really did great. And so that's my little feel on my life. But what do you guys have to add to all that? We have some time. We have 9-10 minutes or whatever. So,
The person that loves you no matter what is there for you. You just described
yes.
my friend Charles.
And it's really great.
That,
and Charles, you
nice.
Have to know that by him saying that, he really means it, because it really is. I mean, I can attest to it. You have to have that support. You can't buy it. You can't go produce it. It just has to come in your life. That person has to come into your life. And the one lady that she believes, she's more logical than I am, but she believes. She believes like me. And, I mean, I didn't see her for quite a few years. We would say hi to each other and everything. And now we talk every single day about me and what's going on with her and my other friend and Candy, but my other friend Jackie a lot. I talk to her a lot. But you've got to have that. You really do. And it's nice, Charles, that you can be there for Al. You did
yeah,
a good
deal. And, yeah. I agree with what you're saying. You know, I do not believe that we came into this world to be solitary beings. If we did, we would have from birth been able to
been
be on our own and not need to be mm-hmm. nurtured by a family, not need to be nurtured by a mother, breastfed and nurtured by a mother. If we were meant to be solitary beings, we would have just popped into the earth and that would be it. But we're not. By nature as humans, we are tribal, communal type beings. And so when we're going through our stuff, we need to have our community, and we need to be around those, as you say, Natalie, those who love us no matter what. It doesn't matter. They see our blemishes, oh, well, that's fine. I still love you. Right?
Right.
You're going through your stuff.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter. I still love you. You know, and I think we all need to find who that is in your life. Not people who love you because they want something from you. Not people who love you because they're related to you. Not people who love you because they're hoping that something will happen and that you're their magic wand in life. But people who just love you and care for you because they love you. That's it. So no matter what, right? And those are the ones that are going to really help us grow. And if you don't have somebody like that in your life, and this is to the listeners out there, if they don't have somebody like that in their life, then move on and look around, because there's people out there who are really like that. And I feel I'm one of those people. When I love others and care for others, I love and care for others, and I don't care. I don't care what Al does or doesn't do. Doesn't matter a darn to me. You know,
that's right.
I've made suggestions to Al that he hasn't followed at all. And I've made suggestions to Al that he has followed. And whether he follows it or not, I still love Al. It doesn't matter. And I'm not going to pull back from
that's
him.
Right.
Because I just love him for who he is, you know. And there's people out there that are like that, and you need somebody like that. You need a champion in your life. So, you're talking about that. They're champions, exactly, you know. So who is going to be the champion in your life? Now, most of the time, the champion in our lives is going to be ourselves. But every so often, we need to have somebody else champion. Every so often, we need somebody that's going to champion us and say, "Hey, listen, you know, I just love you, and it's okay, and it's okay."
That's true.
And we learn from those people. We get mentored by them. We learn from them,
you know what I do with them,
though,
Charles and Al, is that I want to do for them. I want to make their life better, and that's the process that's how I do my life. Is I'm always wanting to. Okay, how can I make this a little bit better? How can I make sure they make a little bit more money? That's what I do, and I love it, and I don't have to tell anybody. I mean, I'm telling it now, but I don't really have to go yell to the world, "Look what I did." I get joy out of that, and it's a complex. People are complex. They really, really are. It's not easy to understand a person. It really isn't, because you know things happen when they're young. They carry them through to an adult, and then they continue carrying them through. And, you
exactly.
know, you have to make
and
the adjustments.
When you get to a point,
and
when you get to a point
ahead,
in your life where you can really love yourself, you got to love yourself first before you can really love somebody else. But I know in my life now, my life is about, like, daily I get up and I think, how can I leave this place that I'm at right now just a little bit better at the end of today than when I woke up? So what can I do? And that might just be encouraging one person. It might be blessing somebody as I'm driving down the road and you can see that they're frustrated and they're cutting people off and things like that. It might be that. But it might be just one tiny little thing. But if we all thought that way, eventually what would happen, rather than tear each other down, and we see enough of that in the news, we see enough of it in government, we see enough of it in all over the place, but rather tear each other down, how can we just take and leave the world a little bit better than the way we found it when we woke up this morning? Just a little bit better.
I probably do that more when I'm creating the issue for the magazine. Because I've got all these beautiful people that I will be, I'm going to represent them in my issue. I'm like in another world when I do my magazine. I mean, I know it. I can work 15 hours straight on it because I do it all myself. And I realized that that's probably one of the best times of the month is at the end when I'm able to do that. All these people, I mean, you know, in the beginning, Charles, I had to go out looking out for, information. I had to solicit material. Now I don't even do that. I don't have to. I get so much of it that's unreal. And I can sit back and say, wow, this is really great. This is magazine. It's been going a long time. I didn't want to do a magazine. I didn't want to do a blog. But see, for me, things kind of fell into place, you know, and as they do,
so you
sometimes
found your
doors
passion.
Open.
You found your passion.
I could just do it with my story.
Mm-hmm.
But I will.
And so, you know, it's just a matter of working that out. Like keep that vision in front of you. Keep your passion in front of you. Keep your purpose in front of you. One of the things I'm doing right now is I'm working with a person. I like to say privately, I think of him as Mr. Passion and Mr. Purpose. His name is Chris Atwood. He's a best-selling author of The Passion Test, him and his partner, Janet Bray Atwood. And I've been working weekly with him, and we've been chatting back and forth. And, you know, that's what he, for the last, 20 years or so, him and his partner have been putting out is helping people find their passion and purpose in life and then from there supporting them as they make that happen. And that's what's happened with you with your magazine. You lose all track of time.
Yeah.
It's like you're in another world. You're exactly where you're supposed to be. Exactly,
yeah.
At the time you're supposed to be, and it's like you're in a whole different dimension, and you're pouring your love out, you're pouring your purpose out, you're pouring your passion out, and you know, and that's just great. That's just great.
Can I put a plug in?
Can I put a plug in?
Sure. Oh yes, absolutely. Plug what all you want. This is your show, you know.
Okay, so I just want to plug that because. Chris Atwood also, beginning next Wednesday, is going to be leading a group of us through the passion test. And anybody who's listening can get onto this. If you need to, you can get a hold of me at my email address, charles@getlitup.com. So that's getlitup.com. And so we're part of a community that's going worldwide now. It's really beginning to take off. It's called the Lit Up Community, LITUPP, and we're right in the middle of relaunch of our website. I just got a look at the website today. It's amazing. Chris Atwood's on there with talking about Dharma. His partner Janet Bray Atwood is doing the Passion Test. Chris is going to lead. He's one of the authors of the Passion Test. He's going to lead a group of us starting next Wednesday. Every week we're going to get together with Chris and go through the Passion Test. So anybody who wants to learn about their passion and their purpose, they can get a hold of me, and they can go through that and learn about it. There's a cost associated with it. It's minimal. It's $40 a month, and this will take about 3 months to go through. But you're going to be working with who I call Mr. Passion. From the Passion Test, you'll get supported by myself also. And when you get into it, you don't only have access to the Passion Test, you'll have access to a whole bunch of other courses. We've got Debbie Poneman, who's going to be in there, who's the author of Say Yes to Success. We've got Dr. John Gray coming on, Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus. Dr. Joe Vitale is going to come on there and do some courses for us. And once you get on, you're a member, you get access to all of that. And with Chris on there, this is a learning circle, so you'll have direct access to Chris once a week, once every Wednesday for the next 9 weeks. We're stopping for a couple of weeks at Christmas.
And they can always contact me, and I can direct them to you in case they, you know, say, oh, gosh, I want to do this. What was it? Blah, blah, blah. And we can do that. And that sounds like it's wonderful. Awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and your website will be up soon. I'm thinking, and you're going to let me know, please let me know. And when I send you the email about submitting something, actually, what you could do is we could do a feature on it if you want, whatever you want. I'll speak to you in email, and we'll see what we can put together because that's what I'm about. I love allowing people to get out there. I love to show the best of them. And somebody said, well, what about you, Natalie? I like to be behind the scenes. I like to, you know, I'm not comfy. I mean, I can talk on the radio. I can do all that, but I like to be, you know, behind that curtain looking and saying, yep, everything's going good. He looks good. She looks good. Okay, there's no, everything's fine. This is going great. That's what I like to do off to the side. But we could certainly do some things with that. And see, now you want to do articles and stuff. I'm going to get you every month now, so be ready. But it's kind of cool because then you can promote yourself. And then what I do is I have a place where I can send it off to all my networks, and I can also put it on my Instagram because I have what I call super intelligent people that are following me. Don't ask me why, I don't know, but they are, and it's really, really, really nice. It's not a really like a social network. It is, but it isn't. You know, Facebook is more social to me, and I let Candy deal with that. And I want to thank Candy also before we go for all of her fine work that she does. She should take a bow. She puts everything up. She does my dashboard for my Blog Talk Radio, got you out everywhere. And see, now what we'll do is I will, when the show is over, I click on this link to Twitter, and then it'll go to Twitter, the show, the recording of the show, and then I go in and I move it off to Facebook, and then I can also take the link and put it on Instagram. And then it also, if you have an article, we can promote something in there. I put links in there. Your book. When is the book going to come out now? Do you know?
I'm hoping to have everything up in about April. So there's still a lot of stuff coming together. It's a work in progress, right? So it hasn't quite finished yet.
Okay.
But I'm hoping to have it together by April, and I'm not sure yet if it's going to be self-published or what. So.
Yeah. Well, we've got to get it out there, and all the people that you're going to have on this site, it's going to sound like it's really wonderful. Some of the names I know, some of the names I don't know, but I think that's going to be great, and it's going to be great for you. And, of course, Al had to leave, but that's okay. And I'm so happy that we had you on the show tonight, Charles. You were very enlightening. You probably did some healing for me, and you didn't even know it. Right now I'm in a very, very good place. Sometimes I'm not. I have to admit that, and people know that are listening. Sometimes I'm really not in a good place, but I do work through it, and I'm really happy that you decided you wanted to do this. And, of course, it was Al that brought you to my attention. And we have to always thank Al, and he keeps doing it. He keeps connecting me with people. So this is a bonus for me. You know, I expand my horizons every time I get somebody on that I don't know, because it allows me to find out about them and know that I am doing another one of my passions, and that's talking to people that are so creative and who have had it not so easy all their life. And almost anybody that I've had on the show has come from, you know, not this smooth ride. Everybody thinks, oh, yeah, it's real smooth. Even people that have been really wealthy, Charles, they didn't have a smooth ride. Not when you talk to them, they haven't. And so the listener should know that everybody's life is so different. And if you can come together with somebody and learn about them, And I certainly learned from everybody that I have on my show, and I thank you very, very much. And I will be emailing you. And do you want to say any parting words, or shall we just wrap it up here?
Well, the only parting thing that I can say is this. I said this in Kobe, Japan this year when I was over there teaching. Really, really learn how to fall in love with yourself, totally and completely in love with yourself. And when you do, you'll find that spark of the divine that lives in you, and life will become completely and totally amazing. It's a real art, and when you find that art, and we can all find it, you can live an amazing life.
Thank you so much for that. And as I always end the show, Charles, I've done it for forever. I always tell everybody to do things under grace, but I really always tell them to believe in things you cannot see, because they really are there. And I can tell you that that is the truth coming from me, and Charles probably can speak that same thing too and say, yes, it's real. It's really real. And everything is divine order. I believe in that. I used to sign my emails, divinely yours, Natalie. And then I changed it and I just put love. Everybody gets love. X's and O's and all that kind of stuff. So thank you again, Charles. And maybe sometime next year we'll have you back on and you can tell us more about your book and everything else and about the site that's going on and all that kind of good stuff. And I will be in touch with you in email about something for the magazine as well, okay?
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Natalie. I really appreciate it. Good night, everybody.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, everybody, have a great week. See you next Wednesday night, same time, same station, 8 o'clock. We're going to have, we're going to have somebody called T-Love on. She will be on, and we're going to be discussing things with her. And I'm already all booked up until January, and this is kind of a wonderful thing for me that makes me feel that I must be doing a good job. I feel that I am. So you have a great week. Be kind. Love yourself, as Charles says, and Al also, but mostly Charles. And you're going to find that things are going to go much better for you. And much better for me and everybody else. And remember, believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. Good night.